I got my laptop on and I feel alright. I got a few joints rolled and my munchies made. Got my headphones on and I close the door, don't disturb me. It's time to stand up tall and say some things about the shitty world we're living in with the boys at Raccoon Terrace News. Raconteurs news. Oh yeah. And good evening and welcome to Raconteurs News. It's Tuesday night. It's the usual Tuesday show. It's with me, Jason Holmes, and I've got joining me tonight. He's just eating his chips now at the moment. He's just sat in front of me. I can see on the camera. He's just stuffing his face with his chips. He's producing for me tonight, Andy Young. And he's wearing also not only his producer's hat, but also his presenter's hat as well. So tonight, Andy has got two hats on his head. The presenter and the producer hat. So two hats, Andy, that's what we'll call him for this evening. So he'll be joining us just after he's had his fill of chips. Anyway, I hope you've had a good day. It's been Snowmageddon Day here in Sheffield. It's not been quite as bad as we were anticipating. As far as they were telling us, we were never going to be able to get out of our houses ever again. But it seems to have been, we woke up this morning to a light dusting, and all day it's been snowing, blizzard conditions. Then the skies have cleared. We've had blue skies. We've had sunny weather. It's like been four seasons in one day, which is a very good Crowded House song. That's one of my favourite Crowded House songs as well. It's been that sort of day. So what are we going to do tonight? Well, we're very excited. We're going to have back a guest. I think this is about the third or fourth time he's been on Raconteurs News. We're very excited. His website is thecrowhouse.com. I'd like to welcome, I don't think he needs much of an introduction to most people, but I'll introduce you anyway. Max Egan, how are you doing, Max? Are you okay?
I'm doing good, brother. Thanks for having me on again. Always a pleasure to come and talk to you.
Excellent. Brilliant. Well, thank you for coming on. We know you're a busy guy. Whereabouts in the world are you at the moment? Because I know that whenever we've had you on, you've been in different places, even like in the jungle in Peru, where you could hear the water, the rain behind you, in the forest and stuff. So whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'm in sunny Holland at the moment, where it's a balmy -1 degrees today, which is an interesting change after the jungle in Peru. And I was in Mexico last week, and I was sweating my ass off there. So now I'm freezing here in Holland, and heading to Ireland on the weekend, where I believe it's even colder. So yeah, interesting. I'm not too far from you at the moment.
There's supposed to be a lot of bad weather this coming weekend, this week up to the weekend in Ireland. So when are you on your way over there?
I'm going on Friday, heading over to Ireland, and I'm coming back on Monday. So interesting. I'm going there just for the bad weather, apparently.
And are you doing any speaking engagements while you're there?
That's what I'm going there for, the Open Minds Conference. That's at the Dooley's Pub at Waterford, which is about 2 hours out of Dublin, I believe. I'm speaking there on Saturday, and there's a whole bunch of speakers, Mark Devlin, a whole bunch of people going to be talking there. Should be good. Looking forward to that one. Haven't done a talk in Ireland before, so I'm looking forward to going and catching up with everybody over there.
What are you concentrating on at the moment? I know you've been doing a lot of stuff on 5G, and I'm not really very up on 5G, so it's going to be handy for you to sort of give me, and by extension, the listeners, because I know there's a lot of listeners that don't know about the 5G. They've probably heard about it, and they're probably a little bit excited that they're going to be able to, download videos in an instant and that sort of thing. And people are really excited about it.
Some people, sorry, are really excited about it, but I gather that your take on it is not quite as excitable.
Well, you know, it's quite a damaging frequency that they're going to be using, this millimeter wave they're going to be using. But apart from that, it's the Internet of Things and everything that's going on with it. You know, 5G is really needed because they need the bandwidth in order to run the Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things is basically going to be the smart grid. You know, these new Amazon stores that have been coming online where you can go into the store and you can just pick up what you want and then walk out. You don't have to deal with any tellers or anything. Everything will be microchipped. Everything in the store will be microchipped, and it will just simply come out of your account when you walk out of the store. So it's all smart, and that's all very well. It may seem pretty good to people, but what they're doing basically with this whole thing is introducing the whole cashless grid to go along with it. And if you look at what they're doing in China, they're rolling out a social crediting system in China whereby your purchasing power is determined by what your political views are. So this is a very dangerous situation. You know, the smart grid is one thing, a cashless society is one thing. And, you know, a lot of people, like the cryptocurrency people, I was just speaking at Anacapulco, many of these people are very much looking forward to 5G because of the bandwidth it's going to give them, but they're not looking at what the IoT is and what the digital control grid is. You know, many people believe that because we've got cryptocurrencies, we're now free from the banks, and that makes us free. You know, the banks are the be-all and end-all. They don't realize how the control grid works. You know, once the currency goes digital, if they're able to limit your purchasing power, then they've got you. You know, what they've done in China, there's like a man in China who is a journalist, very well-respected journalist. He wrote an article exposing government corruption. And the government accused him of fabricating false information against the government, you know, the way they do whenever anyone catches them out on anything. They said, no, this is a fabrication, false information. They fined him. And after he paid the fine, he thought it had all gone away. But then a couple of weeks later, he went to buy an airline ticket and got told he wasn't qualified to buy that airline ticket. And he's not qualified to buy tickets on high-tier trains, which means he can't leave the country, basically. And you'll find that he's soon to, you know, if he complains more, you'll find you get not qualified to buy certain high-level foods and certain high, have access to certain services. Services that you're normally used to having access to, suddenly you find you're not qualified to have access to. So that's how they do it. So in that sort of a situation, it doesn't matter how much digital currency or cryptocurrency you've got in the bank, you can have $1 billion in your Bitcoin wallet. But if you're not able to spend it on anything because your person is denied access to certain services, then what do? You've got nowhere to go from that point. And the thing is, what they've introduced in China, there's no appeal process. There's nobody he can ring. There's nobody he can write to. He didn't even get alerted to the fact that he was being put on the credit blacklist. That's just the way it happens. You just get put on this blacklist, and suddenly you're not qualified for services. They've even changed the ringtone on people's phones so that anyone who rings them gets alerted to the fact that the person they're calling is on the the government's credit blacklist. And currently there's 7.9 million people in China that are on this blacklist. So that's kind of where it's going. That's what the IoT and the smart grid and the Internet of Things and the whole 5G situation is, that's where it's leading. It's basically leading into a social crediting system. And when they get to a point where, you know, your password is a retinal scan or bioacoustic resonance off your body, or, you know, people will worry about microchips, but they don't even need to microchip you. They can do it through a bioacoustic resonance. They can do it through a retinal scan. They can do it through your DNA and use that as your password. So, you know, there's all certain ways they can do it. And when you find that it is your person that is barred from certain services, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. So this is what people aren't looking at with the whole Internet of Things and the whole IoT and the whole 5G grid. You know, but, and with the 5G grid anyway, just the fact that it's a millimeter wave that they're using to do this, which is military-grade technology, it's what is used for active denial systems, it means that underneath this, you know, lightning fast communication system that they're rolling out is the potential for it to be used as an active denial system. They could virtually isolate any section of the city they want. They could seal it off with microwaves, and they can do whatever they want. They can bring in active denial anyway. They can create curfews with it, you know, and it also creates the need to automate the system, because when you've got that capability underneath your communication system, you know, the possibility of it being turned into a 5G, you know, active denial system. Well, what happens if you go to war with another country? You know, if the United States goes to war with China, suddenly China gets access to the 5G grid and decides to microwave New York, well, you can't have that. So you need to automate the response to hacking, you automate the response to virus control and all that sort of stuff, so you don't have time for human error. So basically, you create a fully autonomic system. And with the whole crypto world and everything people are doing to remove government, they're basically handing government over to AI in the process is what they're doing. It's not really anarchy that they're creating, you know, self-governance. It's governance by an autonomic artificial intelligence, and that would be even worse than what we've got now. So this is where we're going with all this. A lot of people aren't looking at it. A lot of people aren't noticing. I don't know anybody who's talking about the social crediting system that they want to bring in. And that's really the be-all and end-all. I mean, if they bring in digital currency based on social crediting, then that's it. That's the new world order. They've got you by the short and curlies then, and there's nowhere to really go from it because what you're dealing with is an algorithm. You know, so what I'm saying, what we need to do is we need to focus on those who are in control at the moment, and we need to deal with these people because no matter how free we think we are and no matter what we're creating, if we don't factor into our equation the reality that the world is run by criminals and they want to steer it to wherever they want it to go, then we've already lost from the beginning. If we allow it to all slide into digital while these criminals are still in control of things, then it's going to slide into a digital system which is economically based and based on social crediting, which is itself based on this ridiculous politically correct society that we're seeing created around us, you know. Now, if you get to a situation where it's the algorithm that determines, you know, who's causing harm and whether someone should be penalized for causing harm, well, what constitutes harm? You know, if it constitutes harm that I haven't used the correct pronoun that you've made up for yourself and I get penalized because of it, well, you know, this is the sort of society we're creating and this is where we're being led. So we've got to be very, very careful about where we're going and where all this is leading.
Yeah, it is. It does seem to be stepping up in the speed that these things are being implemented. There seems to be... an urgency amongst the people that are trying to do this sort of thing, in order to get it rolled out before anybody realizes what's going on, you know. So it does seem like that. What would you say to some? We used to have a guy on who did the financial reports for us. He used to come on the show a couple of years ago. Now we've not heard from him, but it was the Sirius report, and he made the point of the governments of the world. They make a lot of money from narcotics. Now, if you're in a cashless society, that makes the narcotics trade virtually impossible unless you're going to start taking digital currency. But then again, people are not going to really want to be doing that, are they? Well, what would you say to that? I mean, he said that the governments are into narcotics, and without cash, the narcotics industry is done.
Well, look, that makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways if you need cash on the streets. I mean, without narcotics, there wouldn't be any cash on the street because, you know, the coffers in the United States, for example, have been emptied. But people, you know, have got this mistaken concept that the ruling kakistocracy actually cares about, maintaining control of the money system. They don't. You know, the money system has been created to lead us to this point. They don't care if they lose control of it now. They've already owned everything. They've already bought everything that can be possibly bought that's of any value anyway. So they don't care. You know, if they lose control of the banking system, it doesn't matter. They get control of so much more through digital currency because they get control of every single action you perform because they get to see every single action that you perform. You know, the drug currency, I mean, this is why they're legalizing weed and all this sort of stuff now. You know, because you're not going to be able to do any black market trading once it all goes digital and people aren't going to stop smoking weed and everything. I mean, this is one of the reasons it's coming online in virtually every country it's being legalized. But so as far as heroin and cocaine and stuff, I mean, I don't know what they'll do about that. I don't think it really serves them much use anyway. I think it's just been used to float the economy, keep the prison system happening. But they won't need that to keep the prison system happening because they'll be able to get all these dissenters into the prison system now anyway by simply barring you from essential services and forcing you into a life of crime. You end up in the smart prison system. That's how they deal with dissent. You know, so it's going to be a whole different world we're heading into once it all goes digital and once it all goes cashless. It will be a completely new way of dealing with things, and it will be people like you and I that are the new outcasts. It won't be the heroin addicts and cocaine addicts and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's just been used to create the sort of a situation where we've got this society that is so full of crime that we need all these police and all this stuff. Yeah, it's all all done by design to create the sort of environment that they want to create that gives them the excuse to roll out what they want to roll out, you know. But they don't care about the money system. They don't care about maintaining control of the fiat system. That's just been used to lead us to this point. You know, people's belief that they even need to pay to be alive is the problem, you know, and whether that's digital or whatever, it doesn't matter as long as people are still paying for every action they perform. And that's what the digital system will ensure, that you actually pay for every single action you perform, pay as you go for everything. You know, every time you turn on a light, it'll be a few credits, it'll be a few this, every time you turn on a tap, every time you open your fridge, you know, so that's the way they're going. And plus, it'll all be spying on you when you've got smart fridges and smart toasters and smart this and smart that. There was a couple of people arrested in Australia last year because their fridge was listening to them. The police were actually monitoring this guy's kitchen conversation over his breakfast table. He did something illegal, said something illegal, so they went and busted him. All perfectly legal, perfectly allowed to do. So yeah, this is where it's all going. Total monitoring of everything. Every single transaction, every conversation, everything. So that is much more valuable than maintaining control of the monetary system.
Anyway, listen, we've got people in the chat room. Super Leeds seems to be on his own in the chat room. He seems to be only one posting in there, so I think he's a bit longer. So if anybody wants to get onto the chat room on raconteursnews.com, and of course I'm broadcasting on Facebook Live as well. And Andy's joined us. Andy, you are there. I've just seen him picking bits of sausages out of his teeth. How are you, mate? All right.
No, that was fish, mate. But yeah, I'm great. It's great to be speaking to Max again, and really interested in the stuff he's got to say about the 5G. Something we talked about before we came on air was this bloody censorship business. I mean, can we perhaps have a look at that before we go any further into the 5G, Max? Because it's looking pretty ominous for people like us who are putting out their independent content. And basically, if we question anything the government says, they're going to delete it.
Well, that's what they're doing, bullying and harassment. If you question the official line on anything, basically they call it bullying and harassment, which basically constitutes bullying and harassment on the part of YouTube is what they're doing. But, yeah, they deleted Richie Allen's channel recently. They've just deleted one of my videos the other day or this morning. It was a video that was uploaded in like last November. So they're doing what they can, and I'm fully expecting my channel to be deleted. I've opened up a DTube channel, which is connected to Steemit. I've also got a BitChute channel as well. So anything that I upload to YouTube, if you guys do that, you need to open up a BitChute YouTube channel, because once you do that, everything that I upload to YouTube is automatically added to the BitChute blockchain. So it's automatically there. Even if YouTube deletes the video, it's still there on BitChute. So, and plus you can upload it to DTube as well. But if my channel gets deleted, I'm just going to move over to DTube and stay there. Forget YouTube. You know, the channel is really taking off at the moment. It's really like it's tripled its subscriber base in the last 6 to 8 months, my channel. So a lot of people are really noticing it, and I don't think YouTube's going to let that happen because they've been doing their best to suppress it for the last 10 years. You know, they still delete my subscribers and drop my view count and all that sort of stuff. But even with that, it's getting massive amounts of views, so I'm fully expecting it to be deleted. So, yeah, for anybody out there, that's where you'll find me if the channel does go down. Look for the Crow House on BitChute, and look for Max Egan on Steemit or DTube, and that's where you'll find me if it goes down. You guys should do that. I recommend that everybody do that. Hook up a BitChute channel to your YouTube channel so that everything you upload at least gets preserved there.
Oh, that's great news that we can do that, Max. I mean, I've actually been trying to get a Steemit account for a couple of months now, and I've signed up. I've got the please confirm your email business, confirm your email, and then I don't hear any more from them. I've tried several different email addresses, and they're just it's a bit of a nightmare, but there's some guy I've managed to come across who's got an account, and he's shown me various ways to sign up for the account. Is there any particular easy way that you know to get an account? Because it seems to be a bit elusive, really.
No, I mean, it just worked for me. I just signed up and opened it up, and there I go. I've got a Steemit account. So. It seemed pretty straightforward. I opened it up in 2016, though. I just haven't used it that much. But I'm starting to use it a little bit more now, just because we're getting so much flack from YouTube. And I've kind of steered right away from Facebook as well. I only really post on Facebook, you know, once a week. I post my radio shows there. Very rare for me to post anything else there. So I think it's time to move away from all of these platforms. They're all way too controlled.
They seem to have herded us into like a pen, don't they? Like with Facebook, Google, YouTube, they've got the market cornered, and then so they get all the they corner the market, and then anybody that's saying anything that they don't particularly like or that's against their agenda. In fact, they don't even need to because it's all mostly artificial intelligence, like you said, that's making these decisions.
Yeah, it's just AI. It's just taking keywords or key sentences or whatever out of videos and just saying, no, we don't want that, and that's it. It's just an algorithm that's doing it. So it's very hard to appeal, you know. And some of the stuff, you know, it's deleting. I mean, when my channel gets deleted, which I'm fully expecting it to, it'll probably be both channels, you know, and that'll be 10 years' worth of work. It combined around about 20 million views, video views I've got on both channels, and, you know, thousands of videos. So, yeah, there's no regard for any of that. They'll just delete it because they don't like what you say on one or two of them. You know, three strikes and you're out. And it's what they choose anyway. I mean, I've had them strike my channel for videos that are 3 years old, you know, that are on a different channel, on my old channel, and they've put strikes against both channels for it. So, you know, I'm kind of one strike away from being shut down at the moment. And, you know, who knows? They can just pick any video from the last 10 years and decide it's another strike and shut it down at a moment's notice. So that's the thing. You know, that's what you've got to deal with. And that's why it's important for people to find other platforms and realize we can't depend on these platforms anymore. I mean, it was a nice ride while it lasted, but that ride is over, I think.
I'm
just looking at what Super Leeds has posted in the chat room, and he actually posted this a little bit earlier today, that there's some old boy that he watches his gardening videos on YouTube, and they've took down one for growing sweet corn. So it's just getting beyond a joke, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever they can find, they'll do. Whatever they can use, they'll do. So, yeah, we just can't depend on these things anymore. We have to start taking advantage of some of the things that have been put out there. I mean, the guys that have created Steemit and the guys that have created DTube have done it for this very reason. And apart from that, I mean, you can actually get a little earn from it as well by posting to Steemit and DTube. And it's not the way they do it on YouTube, whereby it's advertising and you've got to monetize your account. On DTube and Steemit, you'll get paid if people upvote your video, and they will get paid for upvoting your video as well. So, and it's all, you know, blockchain stuff that can be converted into fiat, and then you can spend it. So, it's a way of us all supporting each other by voting for what we want to see and pushing it out there and being able to support each other that way without any advertising, without, indulging in their system at all. So I think it's a good thing in many ways. And, I mean, it's a shame to see YouTube go. It's been a great platform. And it's always going to be one of the places where everybody goes. So, you know, that's where the audience is. And so that's why you want the platform, because it gets the information out to more people. But, you know, we expected this, and it's going to get harder. Now I expect it to get harder still. And we've got to just take it in our stride when it happens and move over to the platforms that are being provided for us to do this on, you know.
Do you think this will actually be the death knell for certain aspects of the new media, alternative media, whatever you want to call it? Some people will just say, oh, screw it. They've deleted my channel, I'll give up.
Some people will, I'd say. I mean, some people will. I mean, a lot of people got into the whole, you know, the trap of the monetized accounts. You know, I tried to warn people when this was happening. When they made it optional for you to be able to monetize your YouTube account, suddenly a lot of people, you know, their whole style changed. It became about sensationalized headlines and sensationalized clips, and it became about clicks and getting the income. Many people were making tidy incomes off YouTube, and so they quit their day jobs and the other stuff they were doing, that, you know, all the backup that they had, and decided they were living free on YouTube, you know. And I warned them that they should not do this, that it was a trap. It was just so that YouTube could find out who was connected to who, what everybody's bank accounts were, they're giving you little dribs and drabs anyway. You might make a few grand a month, but to them it's nothing, you know. So I never monetized my account. I never did any of that. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, really got dependent on YouTube for this source of income. So, of course, that rug's going to be pulled out from underneath them. And we've got to expect this. I mean, of course they were going to do this. They've been going to do it for a long time. And it may be the death of the independent media because so many people are worried about funds and finances and clicks and their monetized accounts. But for those serious truthers who are doing this because they want to get the word out and are doing it because it needs to be done, I don't think it will stop us. I think we'll find another way. You know, I'll just keep going till the wheels fall off. They'll have to shut me down altogether and cut my tongue out before I'll go quiet. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I'll find whatever platform there is to get the message out, and I'll keep being a thorn in the side of these people until they go away. You know, so I don't think it will matter to the real truthers. Maybe it will weed out the wheat from the chaff, you know, and maybe we'll just be left with the hardcore activists who will simply not give up. That will be left, and then people will know who the people are they should be listening to anyway, and perhaps we'll get some sort of a groundswell. Maybe they'll just work to focus the effort and concentrate the spearhead and distill the information by doing so. I don't think the real people will give up at all, will you? I certainly won't.
No, we won't be giving up. But the point you were making about monetization as well is as soon as people realised that they were making a decent amount of money with the videos that they were doing, something seemed to inevitably change in them. You know, when you saw somebody get a lot of views and, you know, and they're getting monetized and they're obviously being able to fund their life with the monetization they're getting from YouTube, they seem to change.
Well, they do. Well, they do, and that's what it was all about, and that's always what it was about, you know. And you think about it, you know, we created this movement, and we're doing what we're doing to try to combat this economic system. You know, the economic system, which is the glue that holds this whole control group together, and yet suddenly in the process, people became enslaved to the economic system in order to get their word out against the economic system. What the hell is that all about? Because that's what happened, you know, and that's exactly what I warned them that they were doing by you know, letting monetization get in the way of real information. Suddenly it all became about clicks, about getting views, and about getting their Google check at the end of the month. This is why I never, ever monetized my account. I've never had any advertising on the website. There's never been a subscriber section, and I've never monetized. I've been offered partnership, must have been offered it 500 times by YouTube, and I've never accepted it. I've just never monetized because it was a trap. It was always a trap. Of course it was a trap. You know, and you're right, people change. They get on this whole thing and they become kind of rock stars, YouTube rock stars and gurus, and it's really weird. I mean, you can go to some of these concerts now, like the Byron Blues Festival. There'll be all sorts of world-famous bands from all over the world there on a 3 or 4 day festival, and they've got a VIP section, and they've got a new VIP section for YouTube celebrities and Instagram celebrities, and I'm going, what? You know, Instagram celebrities and Snapchat celebrities and YouTube celebrities. Is there such a thing, you know? And it blew me out that people were there in this little VIP section actually thinking that they were some sort of a celebrity because they've got a lot of likes on their Instagram pics or something. It's bizarre, you know?
It's almost like it's brought to life the actual saying a legend in his own lunchtime, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Super Leeds.
But like I said, it's sorted out the wheat from the chaff, though. I mean, at least you can see who the rock stars are and who the serious truthers are. You know, who's doing this because it needs to be done, and who's doing it because they want the fame and fortune or whatever that goes with it.
It certainly appears to be making that more obvious to those who couldn't see it beforehand. But Super Leeds has come up with a good question here. He says, do you think that they're wiping channels out now because something big is coming, which they don't want us questioning?
Oh, yeah, the whole One Belt, One Road China thing. I mean, the video that was just deleted by YouTube is all about One Belt, One Road. It was What's About to Happen was the name of the video, where I talked about how the whole war with North Korea is going to lead into this new economic system, this new Silk Road that is being run by China. It will most likely be run by cryptocurrency. We'll see the fall of the U.S. as the petrodollar, the petrodollar as being the global reserve currency. We'll see the whole thing change. So I recommend people go and check out that video. I've just uploaded it to DTube. It's also on BitChute called What's About to Happen. So this, the whole thing's about to change. The whole new economic system's about to change. America will soon lose its place as a global reserve currency. So even a lot of the people who are promoting cryptos and all this sort of stuff, a lot of the American people that are doing this, they've got a very Americentric way of thinking about things, and they can't ever perceive a time when America won't be at the top of the food chain. They don't realize that what keeps America at the top of the food chain is the fact that the dollar is a global reserve currency. You know, America is trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, mainly to China. And you've got to ask, why China? Mm-hmm. Why didn't it borrow money from the World Bank? Why China? Because it was designed, it was planned to get it in debt to China, because China is going to be who's going to be running the new Silk Road. And, of course, America will have to tighten its belt and all this sort of stuff once it loses its position as the global reserve currency. So you've got Trump there bringing all the industry back and all this sort of stuff. Yes, yes, we'll have to tighten our belts and get the country economically stable again, you know, so everyone's going to want to work and bring America back to make America great again. You know, and they'll slowly introduce the Chinese work ethic in the United States over a period of a couple of years. Just more regimented factory life, you know, and it'll, you know, give it 10 years and it'll look like a Chinese work situation in the United States. But America is about to lose its position as a global reserve currency, and the whole thing's about to switch over to crypto, switch over to digital, whether it's Tangle technology, whether it's IOTA, whether it's Bitcoin, whatever it is. Like I said, it doesn't matter. You know, once the IoT comes online, the Internet of Things comes online, and all transactions become digital, it doesn't matter what form that currency takes, whether it's fiat that's run by the banking system, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's Litecoin, doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's digital, and as long as there's no cash, that's all they need. And then bring in social crediting, and they've got you. And that's what is about to come online. So that's why they're shutting everybody down, I would say.
And it's not been like it's a sudden thing, because I didn't film producer Aaron Russo, didn't he give an interview where he said that he'd had a meeting with a Rothschilds or a Rockefeller, and they told him that the idea was to get everybody chipped up, and then if anybody was dissenting, they just switched the chips off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't even have to chip you now. The technology is way surpassed what they said back then. That was 15 years ago when they were talking about that. It's gone way, way past there now. They don't even need to chip you. They can do it through nanotech. They can do it through bioacoustic resonance, through retinal scans, all sorts of ways they could do it. We got voice recognition and retinal scans. Your phone takes your fingerprints every time you tap an icon. All these smart pads and iPads that people are tapping, these are all running facial recognition programs and fingerprint tracking programs and voice recognition on them all the time. So, you know, there's no way to really get out of the system if you're using smart devices. They don't need to microchip you for it at all. And like you say, all they've got to do is switch you off. And not essentially switch you off completely, simply deny you access to certain services like they've done in China through social crediting, you know, based on your Facebook profile, what your political views are, you know, and they're saying it would be a great tool to combat terrorism, of course. Yeah, it's always the play, isn't it, to combat terrorism. You know, it creates a more honest society, they're saying. So this is where they're heading with it. Social crediting, that's how they do it. That's how they control you, and that's how they switch you off. They just switch off your access to certain services. You know, like when you're on food stamps or something now in America or Australia, you know, when you go and get a special handout from the Dole office or whatever, there's certain foods you can't buy. You can only buy generic food. You know, you can't buy, you know, any luxury foods. You can't buy cigarettes, all this sort of stuff. They'll just do that through social crediting. You'll go into a store one day and you'll go to purchase all this stuff, and they'll say, no, you're not qualified for that brand. You've got to purchase the generic brands, you know. So they can do it this way. They can easily steer people into the way they want by penalizing them for thinking outside the box and rewarding those who think inside the box by creating VIP areas and new special services and new special products and all sorts of things for people who comply. You know, so it encourages people to comply. It encourages people to think like everybody else, and it encourages people not to associate with anyone who thinks outside the box. Like I said, they changed the ringtone on your phone so it says, you know, the person you are calling is on the government's credit blacklist. Do you wish to proceed? because that may put a black mark against your name, and you may end up on the blacklist for associating with this person, so you're not going to want to call them, are you? You know, so it pushes them further and further away from society. That's how they do it. And so when you think about where it's going, you know, the drug culture and everything we were mentioning before, the cocaine and everything that keeps the societies afloat, this is mainly to create crime. It's mainly to create a situation where we need a police state. We need more police on the street. We need, you know, we've got all this violence and all this stuff which is going on, which is all done by design to create this whole situation whereby people welcome the smart grid. They welcome the smart society. Well, we knew this was going to happen as soon as they started using cars to drive over people. You know, the police and the cops in England staging all these terror attacks using cars. Oh, yeah, okay, they're going to bring in self-driving cars. That's what this is for. I mean, we saw all this happening. It's all been predicted. All the censorship, it's all been predicted. So, you know, people, you know, talk about this. We've been talking about it for 10 years online and on YouTube now, saying all this censorship's coming, and people thought it was just going to go on and we're going to continue to talk about it for the next 30 years. Well, no, it's happening and it's here right now, and you can expect our channels to disappear any day, you know, especially now they're getting more traction, you know, because there is too much going on. There's too much happening in the world over the next 12 to 18 months. They don't want people talking about it. They don't want people, you know, calling things for what they are. They don't want people to be able to predict all these false flags and be able to see where everything's going and call it, because we've been doing it. We've been getting pretty good at it. So, of course, they're going to shut us down. And this is it now. This is the big time, the censorship purge we've been waiting for. It's happening right now. So, yeah.
Oh, thanks for that, Max. I've just actually had a very interesting message sent me by one of our regular listeners and occasional co-hosts, Paul Webster, and apparently he's come across a group of people from the Isle of Wight, and apparently they're going to be the guinea pigs for the UK. That's where they're doing the trial rollout of 5G. So Paul said they didn't, perhaps they weren't aware of what some of the downsides were. Although looking through the page, it does appear there's quite a few people aware of that sort of thing. But I'd just like to say hello to everybody on the Isle of Wight who's listening. And you're more than welcome to keep up with us. No doubt we'll be covering this subject as it unfolds.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's interesting they'll be doing it on the Isle of Wight. David Icke lives on the Isle of Wight. Wonder how he's taking this. Amazing he hasn't been a little bit more vocal about it.
Oh, he'll be in Richie Allen's spare room for while they're doing that, I'm going to imagine.
Yeah, well... it's pretty drastic. The whole 5G grid is pretty drastic. I mean, like you say, people are wanting it because of the lightning fast downloads. I mean, some of the people at Anacapulco, some of the speakers were really looking forward to it because of the lightning fast downloads. One guy saying how great it's going to be. We'll all be flying around in vehicles like the Jetsons in 10 years. I thought, wow, you really don't see what's going on underneath this, do you? But, the fact that it can be used as an active denial system is a real problem. And the amount of towers they have to put in, I mean, it's a very, very short millimeter wave. So it's very, very damaging, and they have to put in massive amounts of towers. So it takes the radiation up to the next level. And they're doing it without any safety checks at all. They're rolling it out before the safety standards have even come in because they know it's going to be dangerous. They know it's going to be bad for us, and they don't want the safety standards coming in. So people need to start taking action about it and start taking action against it. The In Power movement's had great success with the smart meters. They stopped smart meters in Hawaii, and I believe they're going forward in leaps and bounds in the United States, and there's people pushing that forward in Australia as well. So that's another thing to look into. You know, liability notices against people in government, you know, filing of affidavits and liability notices and holding these people accountable. Now, even if we don't get any results and we don't get any accountability from them, maybe it will demonstrate to people that there is no law. There just is no law. If the law isn't applied evenly, you know, then there is no law. And it isn't applied evenly because it doesn't apply to these people, so why is it applied to us? You know, we need to start re-examining this whole situation. We really do. And start realizing what our position in the food chain is and that government actually sits below us. They're our employees. They're all abuse of the office that they hold, and this 5G rollout just proves that. So we need to start taking action in every way that we can to stop this rolling out and to hold the people who are rolling it out accountable for their actions.
Yeah, when it's taken as a whole, it's very, very scary. I mean, you're talking about being able to and people will say, they'll use things like immigration, and they'll say, right, with this 5G, we can find out who's eligible to use the NHS over here in this country, who's going to get treatment, and who isn't eligible for treatment on the NHS for free and would have to pay for it or have insurance or something else. But it's really quite scary that they're getting the technology that they can roll this out. But is it physically? My problem is I've heard and seen posts from people that you can be physically harmed by this. By this technology, by the radiation and the stuff. Now, if that's true, surely they're imposing that upon themselves as well.
Well, that's the question. That's the thing. I mean, it's got me bamboozled. But then, yeah, perhaps they're in underground bases. Who knows? Perhaps they're just secreted away somewhere where it's not going to affect them as much. Perhaps they just don't care. Perhaps they're just psychopaths who just want to see the whole world burn and don't care as long as they control it as it burns. You know, I mean, I wonder about these people. I wonder about their motivation in all the things they do, because they're damaging every single part of the human experience. They're damaging every single part of the biosphere. They're damaging this entire environment and everything about humankind in every single level you can think of. So, again, you've got to question, where's all this coming from? Is it really people behind it? You know, because it seems like there's a slow extermination program going on. You know, and absolute control, you know, immersing us into this virtual reality, into this virtual world where we basically lose our physical bodies because they're so decrepit and decayed just from the environment we're forced to live in, that we welcome this virtual world they're shifting us into. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their motivation is, you know, unless they're just pure psychopaths. But like you say, I mean, with the chemtrails and everything, they're spraying themselves. The whole lot is affecting everybody, so it's affecting them as well. So unless they're in underground bunkers and secreted away from all this, which is very likely that they are, I mean, you know, these politicians, they're probably going to come out so we can see them on camera now and then. They probably live in deep underground bases somewhere. Who knows what's going on, brother? But what I do know is we have to stop it. We have to start taking action to prevent this from being rolled out as much as we can anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, we completely agree with that, don't we, Andy? Absolutely agree with that. What are some of the physical effects that have been reported from this that could result? Just for the, I'm thinking about for the people that are on the Isle of Wight. I don't want to freak them out and scare them. But anybody who's listening who's on the Isle of Wight, you know, what sort of physical things do you look at? I've noticed. I noticed my next door neighbour had a smart meter fitted. Now, the smart meter is on the wall at the side of our house. It's on the connecting wall. The partition wall between our houses. And I noticed a change in me. Not only a change in my behaviour, but a change in my mood and my behaviour. And I actually went I went next door. And when I was coming out of the house one day and getting in the car, he was stood at the door smoking a cigarette. And I said to him, have you had a smart meter fitted? And he said, yeah, about 3 weeks ago. I says, I can tell it's affecting me. I can, you know, I wish you hadn't. I'd really love it if you could have it took out. But, you know, I obviously can't dictate to you what you do in your own house. So, you know, I don't want to scare the people of the Isle of Wight, but I want them to understand that they may be consequences from this, physical ones.
Well, yeah, I mean, skin cancers and all that sort of stuff will absolutely skyrocket from having these smart meters installed. And mood swings, like you say, I mean, you've got to understand, you know, you're an electromagnetic being. Everything that you experience is electromagnetic. Every thought you have, every emotion that you have is electromagnetic. If they got a smart meter there that's talking to devices in your home, well, what's it doing to you as well? What sort of frequencies can they put in that to control people's moods and control what people are thinking? I mean, and people would think, oh, they can't do this. Well, they can. I mean, and with nanotechnology and all that sort of stuff as well, I mean, they've done tests on rats where they've injected nanotech into rats and they've been able to switch the genes on and off using radio frequencies. So when you think that we're all eating nanotech and breathing nanotech, what are they able to do with radio frequencies from the smart meters? So the possibilities of this are endless. Apart from that, they can target individuals. They can use it as an active denial system with millimeter waves. They can disable anybody they want. They can turn your house into a, you know, lock your house down, turn it into an active denial zone, and disable you while the police arrive if you're saying something that they don't like over the dinner table. So, you know, there's all sorts of things they can do with this technology. It's not good. It's not good at all. And just the radiation from it is going to be through the roof. I mean, it's so much more than what we're experiencing now. And this isn't just, you know, the next level from 4G. This is a whole new spectrum. This is active denial. This is what they use for microwave cannons. This is military-grade technology. So, of course, it's not good for the human organism, and it's something people need to take into account. I mean, you're going to see a lot of mood swings. You're going to see a lot of skin cancers. You're just going to see a lot of discomfort, maybe ringing in the ears, you know, general malaise, people feeling sick. A lot of people have trouble with these frequencies, and I think you're going to see a huge escalation in these things once this all comes online.
Well, I'm very concerned about one particular condition, which seems to me to have been running parallel with the rise in the wireless technology, and that for me is fibromyalgia. I'm coming at this from a very personal point of view because my partner's affected by it quite badly, and we lived in a semi-detached house. The people next door had no idea what the internet was, and we had a dial-up router. When we moved to our new flat about 12 years ago, we got broadband internet, and then we got the Wi-Fi on. And then one time when I did a search, after I'd been talking to Barry Trower, we did an interview with him way back, I found out there were 27 available Wi-Fi signals in our flat. Now, when we were at the old semi-detached house, my partner was kind of quite well. But all of a sudden, when we moved into this new apartment, she got fibromyalgia. We didn't even know what it was. It was that rare. We'd never heard of it. Now, suddenly, everybody you talk to's got it, haven't they? I think that it can't be any accident that those two seem to very closely parallel each other. What's your thoughts on that, Max?
Oh, absolutely. That wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, all these sorts of things have escalated since we've got Wi-Fi. You know, I try not to have any Wi-Fi around me at all. I mean, when I'm traveling, I've got Wi-Fi all around me, obviously. I mean, where I'm sitting here, there's dozens of signals all around me. But where I live at home, we don't have any Wi-Fi at all at home. I don't have a Wi-Fi router. I have a cable that I run from the wall, so... I don't have wireless mouse, wireless anything, wireless keyboard. So, it wouldn't surprise me at all. All these sorts of things have increased through these radio frequencies that we're surrounded in. You know, even mobile phones and cell phones, these are incredibly damaging to people. Some of the photos I've seen of the magnetic waves that are set up by cell phones, you know, some of the Kirlian photographs and stuff, these set up incredibly damaging electromagnetic fields around people. And, yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all. All these exotic new illnesses are coming online with the advent of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there's tons of room. I've noticed since the next-door neighbours had their smart meter put in, I've had no end of problem. I've been struggling with my INR because I've got an underlying condition anyway. I've had another little mini stroke on my leg. This is all stuff. I've had two water infections. Never had one before in my life. Two water infections in the last couple of months. One which I'm just currently getting rid of now. And the fatigue that I've been suffering. And I know that the APS that I've, the condition that I've got, fatigue is one of the symptoms, but it's never been as bad as this. And that I just can't get away from it. That's the problem, isn't it?
That's the thing. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. So what we need to do is start taking action. We need to identify these problems, write them down, and file them as affidavits, and then go and take action against the people, liability notices against the people that have written the legislation, that have rolled this stuff out, you know? We can't just say, oh, it's here to stay and there's nothing we can do about it. We've got to deal with this, you know, and we have to deal with it. This is dangerous technology. It's damaging technology.
Well, while we're dealing with it, Max, what are the steps we can take to protect ourselves from what these things are doing to us? Because we're not going to win this fight actually by stepping out of it. We're going to have to do this. And while we're doing this...
Get a sledgehammer and smash them off the wall. Get a sledgehammer and smash it off the wall. Lodge an affidavit saying, here's the damage that it's caused, and go and see the politician tomorrow and file a claim against him for damages. Simple. Done. You know? That's what I'd say if they're coming. Look, don't put it on the wall, because if you put it on the wall, I'm going to have it smashed off the wall by the time you get to your car. So don't put it on the house to begin with. You know? Get in touch with the Empower Movement and go to their site and download one of the affidavits and fill it out and lodge it so it becomes a truth in law, and take action against these people that are rolling this stuff out. You know, this is dangerous, damaging technology. We don't want it. We don't need it. It is bad for us. There are no safety standards. Even the fact that Tom Wheeler of the FCC went on and did a speech saying we will not wait for the standards. Well, thank you for making that confirmation. Thank you for making that legal distinction in such a public manner. Now we know you are not waiting for the standards. This is dangerous technology, and we will not accept it. It's as simple as that. And if you're a politician who's saying that we will, well, who the hell are you? You're an abuse of the office that you hold. This is not what we employ you to do. It's as simple as that. You've just signed your own resignation papers, so piss off. You know, that's the attitude we've got to have with these people. The world is run by criminals. We don't have to do what they say. We don't have to respect their authority. We need to call them out as the scumbags that they are. It's as simple as that. Publicly, loudly, as eloquently and politely as possible, call these criminal scumbags out for what they are. You know, you don't have to do what they say. It's as simple as that. The whole thing is rubbish. The whole legal system is entrapment anyway. Who the hell do these people think they are? Until people can adopt that attitude, there is nothing that is going to fix this. People have got to grow a backbone and stand up and call these scumbags out for what they are. Your government is run by criminals. It's not people you should respect. It's not anyone of authority. It's scum. It's a cacistocracy. It's criminals. These people get into power and they give themselves powers that they have no right to have, and they enslave you. Why do you put up with it, people? Stop it. Call it out for what it is. That's how we fix the problem. The human race needs to grow a backbone, or they need to go and dig a grave and crawl under the rock they came from. They really do. I'm tired of this race cowering over and crawling and just saying yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Stand up for yourselves, people. That's how to fix the problem. Stand up for yourselves or piss off and die, because you deserve nothing better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no good getting on your knees and begging for it, because that ain't going to work either, is it?
Exactly. So, yeah, that was a bit of a tirade to end the show, but anyway, so...
Oh, well, we always appreciate a good rant, Max. Usually Jason's the king of the rants. David Ike's Coco in the chat room is saying, come on, Jason, you're the king of the rant on this station. So,
it gets me frustrated. It really does. People have got to grow one and ask these people who the hell they think they are. You know, this whole belief we have in authority, this whole misshapen concept of what it is, this whole this indoctrination we've been through, where we allowed criminals to dictate our action to us, you know? What is that? Why do we even do that? We do it unquestioningly. Why? You know, if we have to be subject to law, if there is going to be law on this earth, then it needs to be applied evenly. And if it isn't applied to the politicians, then there is no law. It's as simple as that. And it is never applied to them, so it isn't applied evenly, so there is no law except for natural law. And people need to respect natural law and realize that that's the law there is, you know, and these people need to be subject to the consequences of their actions. Now, people need to stand up and look around them and look at what's really going on, because if people really did step back and look at what's going on, they would be angry, they would be furious at what is going on, and it would be righteous, wholesome anger that they have every right to feel and every right to express. This is why they're doing everything they can to curtail our emotions and keep everything politically correct, because they don't want you getting angry. They don't want you feeling any emotion at all. But people need to get angry and realize that the employees have taken over the mansion. You know, they're selling the silverware. They've sold all the furniture. They've moved us into the guest quarters. They're about to push us into the basement and sell the house. And we're just letting them do it. You know, it's ridiculous. These are our servants, and this is not what we employ them to do. It's as simple as that. So grow a backbone, people, and stand up for yourselves. That's how to change the world. And no one's coming along to lead you to safety. There is no master plan. There is no great movement you can join. You know, you all have to stand up for yourselves and realize that the world is run by people just like you. No one has any more value than anybody else. You know, and when we can get that into our minds and start behaving like human beings again, we'll see some change. But until that happens, and until people are prepared to do something rather than just sit back and watch YouTube videos and follow the leader and think that their favorite speaker has got all the answers for them, we're never going to get anywhere. You know, we do what we do, and we do these shows, and we bring all these messages to people in an attempt to empower them into action and actually doing something and standing up for themselves and taking care of this world, you know, and they have to do it. And we have to start pushing them to do it and stop being so nice to people and stop telling them what they want to hear all the time and tell them what they need to hear and encourage them to actually stand up for themselves. You know, respect the people around them so that we can all stand up together and get these criminals out of power and lead this world into the direction we want to lead it. We've got all the tools here to do it. We've got all the technology we need. We've got everything we need to lead this world into a wonderful, wonderful place if we just stand up for ourselves and respect each other enough to do it. You know, that's the message, and that's what we need to do, guys. It really is. There's no one coming along to save us. There's no one we can vote in or vote out. There's no great movement we can join. We just have to stand up and call things to what they are. You know, grow inside you. Change what's inside you. Change your spiritual perspective and apply it to the world that you live in, and you will change the world. You know, this has been the statement for years that if you change what's inside you, you'll change the outer world as well. But you have to apply it, and people just aren't prepared to do that. They want to see someone else do it first. I'll wait till Jason stands up, and then I'll stand up with him, you know. No, stand up together at the same time. Let's all do it, yeah. You know.
Brilliant, Max. I've just got a comment here that's coming on Facebook. It's from someone I haven't seen listening to us before, Graham Richardson. Good evening, Graham. Welcome to Raconteurs News. He said, it's great to listen to Max. He's a mine of information and an absolute inspiration. And that's all we're trying to do, is to inspire people to, like you say, grow a backbone, get off your knees, fucking do something. So I suppose it's about this time we normally take a little comfort break, play a couple of tunes. Is that a good time for you guys?
Yeah, good for me.
Okay. Yeah, good for me, mate.
Right. Well, I tried to find a Crowded House Four Seasons in one day, but it's not on my hard drive. So we're going to have, even better than that, we're going to have some tunes from Heath. See you in a few minutes, folks.
Cheers, Heath. Every day is trouble for him. Love that song. I absolutely adore it. I know I had it ages ago, but I didn't discover it again until recently when I stuck a USB stick in my car's thing and it was on there, and I absolutely love it.
Honky Road Rage.
Honky Road Rage, that's right, yeah. No, I love the old bit about wish he had a shit gun. That is, he's just put that in the... I wish he had a shit gun. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Thanks a lot, Eve. Oh, it always gives us great value for money. And do you know what? This is entertainment. You're getting it, and it's free. We don't charge any money. We've not got a monetized YouTube account. We support what Max is saying earlier on about warning people that once you become dependent on something and it turns on you, then you're up shit creek. So we like to keep it like this, don't we, Andy? It's something we can manage, and it's we get to speak to lots and lots of really good people as well, don't we?
Oh yeah, I mean, I just love it. I've said it several times on the radio, but if you'd have told me 5 years ago that I was somehow, by some freak turn of chance, going to end up talking on an internet radio show, I'd have said, you're off, you rocker. But somehow I drifted into it, and I got a lot of help and encouragement from various people. Most of them are now moved away and working on other projects, but there's me and Jason still here. We do what we do, And we try and keep it tight and don't rely on others too much for any help, contributions. We fund it pretty much as we can ourselves. We've had one or two kind donations, which pretty much covered the running costs for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, it's something that is... It feels a real privilege, particularly to be able to talk to so many people, the calibre of Max and Ole, and I can't think of any other names off the top of my head. There's so many. I mean, we've had some absolute... I mean, David Halpin, the guy who mortgaged his house to send a boatload of aid out to Gaza. I mean, what an amazing guy. Have you come across David at all at Max?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Sounds pretty amazing, though.
Oh, yeah. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and when he retired, he wanted to do some good. And he could see that all these charities, they really weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So he chartered, I believe it was a fishing boat, and got a couple of containers full of aid, and he took them out himself to Gaza. They got some serious shit on the way there, but they eventually got the stuff through and it got to the people that need it rather than being stocked in government warehouses and not getting to the those in need. I have got an interesting thing about the what's David Icke think about the 5G rollout on the Isle of Wight. Webby's just messaged me and he said he's just been chatting with Gareth Icke. And his dad is tearing his hair out with the 5G rollout on his turf. So that's an answer on that one.
I imagine he'd be quite concerned about it. I mean, because I know he lives on Isle of Wight. So, yeah, hopefully he'll get his voice out there a bit with that one. Well, and get his neighbours alerted to what's going on, you know.
Something which I've heard countless interviews that you've done over the past, Max, but I've only heard it mentioned very, very occasionally. And I really would like to bring it up because it's something we're quite big on at Raconteurs News, and I know a lot of our listeners are. The cannabis as medicine. I believe you've been quite active in using that as medicine to heal some of your friends and people you've come across with serious illnesses.
Yeah, look, I've cured a whole bunch of people with various cancers using cannabis oil, throat cancer, stomach cancer, testicular cancer, pancreatic cancer, Lyme's disease, lymphoma, burns, skin complaints, skin cancer on myself and other people. It's amazing. Cannabis oil is amazing. I've used it to get someone off Oxycontin addiction as well. 4 days on cannabis oil, high doses of cannabis oil. They went through the whole withdrawal process and didn't even know they'd gone through it. And, amazing results I've seen using cannabis oil. Healed all sorts of problems, multiple sclerosis as well. Guy with multiple sclerosis, suddenly he can hold a driver's license and all he's got is a little bit of numbness in his fingertips. You know, that, I mean, I think a lot of these diseases have manifested simply because cannabis has been removed from our diet. Yeah. You know, once cannabis was banned back in 1930s, I think it was, we saw the advent of all these incredibly new exotic diseases, you know, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's. Alzheimer's and Parkinson's can apparently be cured with cannabis as well. I haven't done that myself. I've seen an autistic child showing an 80% increase improvement in motor skills using cannabis oil. Incredible results. I mean, cannabis is our companion plant. We have an endocrine system in our body for cannabinoids. You know, we have an endocannabinoid system in our body. Mm-hmm. We don't have an endo system for any other plant in our body. You don't have an endo rhubarb system or endo lettuce system, endo carrot system, you know.
Or alcohol.
Oh, no, we certainly don't have an endo-alcohol system, but we have an endocannabinoid system. In fact, every animal with a spine has an endocannabinoid system, which indicates we have had a very long symbiotic relationship with this plant. It's our companion plant. You know, and when we consume this plant, like just even the leaves in salads, you know, that doesn't get you stoned if you just eat the leaves. You've got to heat it before it has any psychoactive effect.
Yeah.
So you can just eat the leaves all the time and that'll keep your body in balance. Juice the leaves are really good for you. Hemp seeds are one of the only whole foods on earth. You know, it was all banned under false pretenses. And when it was banned, We started getting sick. Cancers went through the roof. The medical industry started taking over control of everybody. And we had all these exotic diseases come into play. You know, it also makes the best quality paper, the best quality clothing, the best quality concretes, the best quality building materials. We wouldn't have to be trashing the forests or having all these quarries and all the things that we're doing. We wouldn't have to have all these big cotton plantations, all this stuff. You know, cannabis could heal all of these problems, which is why it's illegal, because all of the industries that are supported through the prohibition of cannabis are some of the most profitable industries on earth, also some of the most pollutive, but definitely some of the most profitable, and that's why cannabis is illegal. It's certainly not legal to, and certainly not illegal to, you know, for our health, because it's a dangerous drug or anything, because it isn't. You know, it's killed nobody in over 10,000 years of recorded use. So, yeah, it's a huge crime against humanity, the fact that it was outlawed to begin with.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had Rick Simpson on probably about four or five times on this show. And the reason we haven't had him back recently is because I think we've pretty much got as much out of Rick as we can. I'd like to get some more people who are active in that area on. We do as much health stuff as we can, Max. We've had Valerie Warwick on, a former oncology nurse from Hawaii who's now treating people naturally. And one thing that we've got that I can give to you, and it's something you can kind of use alongside the cannabis oil. And when you mentioned MS, it does appear to be very good for that, because I had a friend rush up to me outside a cinema. Sorry, a friend who I hadn't met yet, a complete stranger, rushed up to me outside a cinema last year and said, "Oh my God, you're the guy off the radio." And yeah, as if I was going to get a smack round the chops or something. And he said, "Oh no, it's amazing. Since my wife listened to your show with Andrew Fletcher, she's done what he said. And she's gone from having two sticks, hardly been able to walk, constant pain, two carrier bag fulls of meds every week. She's thrown away the meds, thrown away the walking stick, and she runs, swims or walks every single day, and she's in no pain." And that is something as simple, Max, as raising the head of your bed by 6 inches so you sleep on a 5-degree incline. And what that does, it basically stimulates the whole of your circulatory system to work much better, more effectively, just simply by the use of gravity. If you lay down in a flat bed long enough, you're going to start getting some pretty nasty symptoms, and some of the symptoms are quite similar to those of AIDS. It's even been tried with AIDS patients in Africa, and people who were supposedly near death have suddenly got up, started walking about and leading a normal life again. So, yeah, that's another useful one to add alongside that.
Interesting. I hadn't heard of that one. Raise the head of your bed up, not the foot of your bed.
Oh, no. No, if you raise the foot of your bed, you'll age 10 times faster than normal. And it will give you blinding headaches. With this, you don't actually notice that you wake up with a puffy face and puffy eyes in the morning until you sleep on a flat bed when you've been sleeping on a raised one, and you get up in the morning and you don't recognise the person in the mirror because they've got this big puffy face and you're not used to seeing it anymore. When you see it every day, you just get used to it. It is quite remarkable. There's a website out there for anybody who hasn't found it yet, inclinedbedtherapy.com, or you can simply put Inclined Bed Therapy into a Facebook search and it'll bring you up Andrew's group there. He's also been mentioned on Dr. Mercola's website recently, which I think is giving a big push for him. And he's got a French NHS doctor who's trialling it.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out. It's not a problem.
Another thing that's really good for health is... Saved my life, Max. Did wonders for me. Did absolute wonders for me. I'm somebody who's got an underlying condition. I've had two heart attacks, several other coronary events, and I've had three. I'm on, my third mini stroke. But when I inclined the bed, after that, I had a heart attack in 2015, in December of 2015. In April of 2016, I inclined my bed and I came back to life. I was essentially a skeleton, in just in skins. But that inclined bed therapy, boom, along with the CBD oil as well, because they both sort of happened at the same time.
Interesting. Another thing I've found to be hugely effective is MMS. The people that I'm working with or living with in Peru do MMS upriver to heal natives and stuff. And they've had incredible results using MMS.
Ah, right. Well, I've not had much experience with MMS, but we did have a friend call us a few days ago, and he's treating himself for cancer with the cannabis oil, and he was saying somebody had recommended MMS, but he said it really didn't agree with it. It was like it was scouring his insides out.
Well, you've got to start off with small doses, you know. Mm. And depends. You got to eat well as well. You got to make sure you got a full stomach when you have MMS. But we've had incredible results with some of the people up here. I mean, MMS will just oxygenate your blood, so your own immune system can take over and actually get in there and get to the viruses and get to the bacteria and get rid of it. So it doesn't actually cure anything. It just oxygenates your blood. So, it's disgusting stuff to take. It tastes horrible.
Right. And, yeah, it's like drinking bleach, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're kind of burping up this bleach taste for a while. But we've had incredible results with it. So, yeah, that's something else that I recommend people look into for sure.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, going back to the cannabis oil, I got myself off the highest dose that I was allowed of morphine. I've been taking it for a decade. I knew I needed to come off it, and I wasn't looking forward to it. I started trying to cut it down gradually. It wasn't easy, but when I came across some cannabis oil that a friend gave to me, whoa, it was just no problem. Just sailed through it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same with Oxycontin. It's the same thing, which is a similar addiction. I mean, it's still an opiate addiction. So, yeah, same thing. He just breezed through it with the cannabis oil. I mean, it's amazing stuff. It really is, and it cures just about anything. Burns as well. You can put it on burns, it'll take the pain right out, and it'll heal your hand with no scarring, you know, heal your burn with no scarring. So why isn't that being used in burns wards? You know, rather than peeling skin off your ass and stuff and all these terribly painful procedures they put people through.
Mm.
Just because doctors like to do this stuff, they just like experimenting and cutting people up and doing things, you know. You go into a hospital with anything in Australia, the first thing they want to do is cut you open. You know, it should be the last resort. And why isn't cannabis oil being used in these burns wards? Why isn't it being used to treat autistic kids? Why isn't it being used for so many things it could be used for?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when we do use it, we get told that we're not allowed to. That's another thing. You know? Why do we put up with these politicians doing that? You're telling me I can't heal my loved one of cancer because you wrote down on paper that I'm not allowed to use this to heal them, even though I know it works. And who are you? You know, how do you even believe you can write that down and think that I'm going to obey it? And how do you believe you even have the right to write down what I can or cannot use to heal someone of a terminal illness? I mean, who do you think you are, you people?
Yeah.
You know, so this is the way we need to approach this with these so-called laws, because they're not laws. They're just legislation. They're just rubbish that is put there to control us and curtail us. Yeah, any politician that's supporting the continued outlawing of cannabis is committing crimes against humanity and should be removed from office immediately. We don't need any study or anything to examine this plan. We've already done 10,000 years of study. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's our companion plan. And when you outlaw it, we all got sick. And guess what? We're pissed off and we're not going to allow this to continue anymore. And you're in abuse of the office that you hold anyway. So, you know, let's discuss all of this stuff. Now, all these politicians, the legislation they inflict on us, we need to look at the validity of all this legislation when it can be shown that the people that enact it are criminals themselves. So what makes the legislation valid? You know, we just never question it is the problem.
Absolutely. We've got an interesting addition to that. I mean, there is a cornucopia of natural things out there you can do to help yourself. But I see on Facebook Live, Jason's got Mandy Gold posting on there. And she's saying dandelion. Many people use Roundup to get rid of it, but that's one of the better known cures for cancer as well. And it grows on most people's lawn. If you've got a lawn, you grow dandelions.
Yeah, same with soursops. They're a cancer cure as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things, these common things that grow in our gardens, you know. We're taught they're all weeds, but they're not. I mean, of course, you're not allowed to grow a garden anymore. You've got to get council approval if you want to do something like that, or even collect rainwater in some states in the United States.
Yeah.
It's incredible. That's what I mean. All these things are an abusive office. You know, we have so much potential. We could reach so many incredible heights at the moment with some of the technology we've got available to us and some of the knowledge that we've got. Just like you say, this knowledge of things like dandelions and sowsops and, you know, there's so much we've got at our disposal now, and we're curtailed in our use of all it by the actions of government. So we need to address that situation, and we can't allow them to simply roll out this smart grid over the top of it. You know, this smart grid could be great. It could be hugely beneficial for us, but we have to be in control of where it's going, and we have to be in control of what parameters it's being set up under. You know, if it's being set up under economic parameters, being set up under politically correct parameters, whereby the AI determines what and what does not and does constitute harm and all this sort of stuff, you know, and where we get restricted in our movements due to our views on things, you know, we can't allow this sort of a thing to happen, you know, and we can't even consider that it's being put in place to protect us from terrorists, you know. It's not. It's being put in place to protect the government from any form of accountability because people are waking up in droves. And so we've got to realize that that is the elephant in the living room. The smart grid is the elephant in the living room, and we have to deal with it. You know, too many people are just not paying attention to it. I don't know anybody who's talking about the social crediting system, which is quite frightening, the fact that nobody's talking about this. Nobody's putting one and two together, looking at the cashless grid and how social crediting works and what Facebook is really all about and what YouTube is really all about. And all those people who did monetize their accounts, well, now they know who you are and they know what your bank account is as well. So how easy are you going to be to lock out of the system? You know, so people have got to look at where we're being led and really get a focus on what our priorities should be at the moment. And there's a lot of us out here. There's a lot of people that are awake, and there's a lot of people that are aware of what's happening, you know, aware of the control grid and aware of the fact that criminals are running the world, but they're just not looking at this social crediting system. That there's too many people out there promoting this specter of war and fear of all this sort of stuff as well. Nuclear war, oh my God, our governments are doing these terrible things. There's never going to be a nuclear war. You know, all these governments work together. There's no real government out there that is the enemy of your government. You know, they all work together.
Yeah.
You know, Iran is not the enemy. You know, China is not the enemy. Russia is not the enemy. They all work together. They're all doing the same thing. Go to Iran, what's happening in Iran? 5G towers and the smart grid. Go to Russia, what's happening? 5G towers and the smart grid. Go to China, 5G towers and the smart grid. It's happening everywhere, all around the world, all under the guise of protecting us from each other and protecting our country from the other country, which is doing the same thing over there. You know, all about controlling their population, all of this, you know, theater of war. It's all theater. It's exactly that. It's just theatrics to keep the people controlled. You know, so people need to pay attention to this and realize that, you know, we are on the verge here of a completely new reality, and we have to be the ones who regain control of the direction that it's going. We can't allow those people who are currently in control of things to roll it out in the direction that they want to roll it out into. Because like I said further, you know, like I said earlier, with all the cryptocurrency and all the great ideas that everybody has, if they're not factoring in the reality of the world's run by criminals who are controlling the direction everything is going, then they've already lost. Now you've got a fact about it, you know.
The problem, Max, is that we've got to this point where this society has been engineered. So, you know, we were just talking about dandelions and what natural things, knowing what natural things can do for you and how they can be good for you. Nobody knows that. But the problem is we've got this society that's been engineered where they don't know that, but they know about some toss bag in America who's got this, like you said, this YouTube celebrity type thing who goes to the forest in Japan, you know, the suicide forest, and finds a body and then is taking a piss and then it's uploaded to Facebook, to YouTube. And everybody knows all about that. Everybody knows about that. And yet, nobody knows about the simple and the things that really matter. And that's what we've got. I think Super League's put it in earlier on in the chat box that we've got this like narcissistic society now where people will go that extra mile. And the thing is that this toss bag, right, who was all over the internet, everyone hated him, he was making money, doing these stupid things, and he went to this this forest in Japan, I think it's called the Sea of Trees, at the bottom of Mount Fuji, and it's a suicide, it's a place where people go and commit suicide. I think it started from a book that was released in 1938 where somebody committed suicide in the book in that forest, and then it became populist for people to commit suicide in that forest. So he goes along to there because it's like really scary and freaky, and he's doing all this shit, man. Oh, look at all the stuff we've got. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's going to be really freaky. Oh, ooh. And then they find a bloke hanging from a tree. And it doesn't change. It's the same shit that he's coming out with. Oh, man. Oh. And he posted it onto YouTube. And then, so everyone knows about it. Everybody's, you know, condemning is what he's doing, but he's still got the same amount of followers. He's still doing videos. It doesn't seem to hurt, you know, in any way, shape or form. This is what we're up against. It can be quite frustrating, and it's difficult to bust a nad every time I see someone on TV, because it's getting more and more ridiculous, but people are soaking it up. And so how do we get through that? How do we scrape the mud back from these people? And now they've been conditioned and engineered to be like this, to be these narcissistic, self-centered toss bags that think that, you know, someone that actually think that people want to see their dinner. They actually think that people want to see the dinner, picture of the dinner. You know, these people, what should happen is those people who post the dinner, right, a picture of the dinner, they should be made, how many friends that they've got, right, they should be forced to then print out those, the amount of friends that they've got, print out a picture of the dinner for each of them, and then go round to their houses and distribute them, because that is just ridiculous. Anyway, this is where we're going.
Yeah, look, I know it's pretty crazy, you know, but people have been trained into it. You know, unfortunately, you know, attention is what people want, and even those people who may hate this guy who went around the forest filming all this stuff and all these dead people or whatever. Secretly, they want the attention that he's got, you know, because that's what it's all about. It's getting the attention, getting the clicks, getting the likes on Instagram or on Facebook or on YouTube or whatever, getting the views. You know, it's all about attention. And they don't know that that's even what they're searching for. You know, you've got this society of narcissistic people. Well, yeah, but they don't know that, and they don't know what they're looking for. You see, when people are born, when kids are born, they have their parents replaced by the television set.
Yeah.
And so they don't have this normal, loving relationship with their parents and their siblings. So they don't have any real value in themselves. And they don't know what's been taken from them. They spend their lives then, like they'll say the millennials are just these attention-seeking narcissists, because they never had that attention that they should have. They were, you know, they weren't born into a loving family. They grow up with the television being their parents or an iPad being their parent. And their parents don't know that they were doing the wrong thing because they didn't have any reference point, because they didn't have any decent parents either. You know, so the kids now are growing up into these narcissistic environments and doing all this stuff just because they want that attention. They want to have value. They want people to see them and to like them, and they want to feel like they're worth something. And they don't even know that's what they're looking for, because they don't have a reference point, because they never had that when they were a kid. You know, they never had that loving environment. So it creates this narcissistic society where it's all about clicks and it's all about likes and it's all about me, getting my face out there because I have value, I am worth something, me, look at me. Because they never had that. They never had that basic loving family that they should have grown into, because their parents were stolen from them and was replaced with an iPad. you know. And we, even with the iPad, you know, every time you click an icon on your computer or on your smartphone, it releases dopamine into your brain. So it's a little pleasure thing. So it becomes pleasure by the moment. You know, I've managed to reduce our attention span down to 7 seconds, which is 1 second less than a goldfish, which used to have the shortest attention span on Earth. We used to have an attention span of 30 minutes. Now it's 7 seconds. They've managed to do this through icons and clicks and all this sort of stuff and iPads and this whole digital pleasure by the moment society. And when the kids have no reference point for what love is or what nurturing is or what being, you know, having value is, and they don't know what they're looking for. They have absolutely no reference point. So they spend their life in this narcissistic way looking for something, and they don't even know what it is they're looking for because they have no reference point, because they don't know what's been stolen from them. And that's the result. Of course it is. I mean, that's the natural result of doing this to people. You end up with society exactly like what we've got.
And you get people that can't get out of that mindset simply because they're continually traumatized by media news events happen in the news.
They have no reference point. They don't even know they're in this mindset. They think it's normal. They don't know what normal is. They have absolutely no reference point for what it means to be a human, to be a real human being. So, you know, you can't even tell them. You can't even explain it to them because they look at you, you know, with glazed eyes. They can't even comprehend what you're saying unless you can put it in a really, really simplistic manner, you know. But they don't realize what it means not to have had proper parents, you know. And this isn't, you know, oh, what are you doing insulting my parents? And the parents go, well, what do you mean you're insulting me that I'm not a – no, I'm not. It's what real parenting is. I mean, a lot of modern families don't have any concept of what real parenting is because they don't have a real world that they're growing up in. Now, how many kids do you see outside playing in playgrounds or doing things that kids used to do anymore? We don't have any of that. You know, the playgrounds are empty. It's almost chilling to see how empty the playgrounds are in the afternoons after school. There's no kids out on the streets running around and doing things anymore. They're all inside with their iPads and playing their video games, you know. So they don't know. So you can't explain it to them. You would just have to find some way of regaining control of this system and leading ourselves back to a point where kids have some semblance of humanity again. Yeah, because they're losing their life skills at a frightening rate. In everyday things, you know, even taking cursive out of the language, kids, so they don't even know how to write properly anymore. They don't know how to spell properly anymore. They don't know how to write properly. They don't even know how to go and plant a garden or plant a seed or do anything for themselves. You know, so it's pretty frightening. And, you know, we're not going to find a way out by trying to train the kids to think differently. They're just going to go where they're led. They're going to go where the education system leads them and where their peers lead them. We have to find a way of regaining control of the system so we can merge the technology we've got back with the old ways. Now we need to maintain both, because there's value in the old ways. There's thousands of years of knowledge of humanity that is being cast aside in favor of technology and convenience, and all this can be snatched away from us as soon as they pull the power plug.
Well, we've got an interesting comment on the way things are going. Come from Jason Powers in the chat room. And Jason is a good friend of mine, and Jason's. We speak to him on a regular basis. And he used to work in Canada. He was campaigning for local government offices in their elections and all that. So he knew these people. He mixed in their circles. And he says, we got psychopaths running every department, political, medical, educational, police, etc. I spoke to them all, and they make my skin crawl. The super leaders said, they don't know. Jason says, they know. And believe me, they do know. He said, I showed them the evidence. Their answer is, I believe you, but we've got a good job. We don't want to lose it.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, they don't care. It's they're psychopaths. I mean, this whole system is designed to reward psychopaths and maneuver them into power. Mm. You know, and if everybody has a dark side to them, and this system will restrain you to the point that you're so frustrated, then it will reward that little spark of sociopathy that may exist in you. If you have that anywhere in you at all, you will find it, you will nurture it, and it will reward you for it. That's what this system does. So you find in any corporation or any major company, it's usually run by a psychopath. You know, and when you have a psychopath running a company or a corporation or a country even, then the morality of the psychopath becomes the morality of the corporation or company, or the morality of the legal system of the country. So, and that's what happens, and that's what we've got. Yeah, and that's what the political system does. I mean, the political system, you know, we used to have a situation where, you know, anyone would be voted into office and they'd sit there for a while and they'd manage infrastructure for us until we voted someone else in who was going to do a better job. But then it became a career path for the ultra corrupt. Yeah. You know, and politics was never a career path, but now it is. You know, and who would even want the gig? You know, would you want to run a country? I wouldn't want to do it. The only people who want to do this are psychopaths. They want to claw over each other and badmouth each other every way they possibly can because they want that gig. Why? Because they want to control everybody else because they're a psychopath. You know, the political system itself is one of the major problems we've got. We don't even need government. We don't need these people. Government is simply racketeering. You know, we have infrastructure already in place. We have a system in place that manages our education, another system that manages our construction, one that manages our infrastructure, our roads, one that manages transport, trade, all that sort of stuff. All government does is sit above the whole thing and dictate to all these different organisms and say, well, you all need to do your things the way we say it, and you need to give us a cut of everything you do, and if you don't, we're going to send these guys around to beat you up and put you in a cage. That's racketeering. That's all government is. It's just racketeering by the ultra corrupt. We don't even need these people. They get in the way of everything we do, and they just do everything they can to curtail the human experience. And they concoct all this rubbish with each other and all these threats with each other so that suddenly America and China are facing off and want to go to war with each other. No, they don't. It's the U.S. government and the Chinese government just facing off against each other and creating this situation. The Chinese people and the American people don't want to go to war. It's the governments. Because without the enemy, we wouldn't need government. So they have to create the enemy. You know, I'll take Camp A and you take Camp B and we'll pretend we hate each other so we can lock our citizens down. Then we'll go and have lunch together. And that's what they do. You know, it's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. You know, without governments, without enemies, we wouldn't need government. And so that's why government's always creating all these enemies and all this facing off and all these pretend wars with each other. It's rubbish. We don't need these people at all. And when we wake up to that, I think we'll find, you know, we're in a golden age. But it will take a little while, I think, before people actually wake up to the reality that we don't need government. Yeah, about a month or two ago, the U.S. government shut down for a week or something. Did anybody notice?
No.
It shut down. You know, nobody even noticed. All it meant, there was no new legislation came out. There was no more rights taken away from the people. No new taxes came online for that week. You know, nothing changed because government wasn't there. It was actually better that they weren't there. That should be a sign for everybody.
Mm. Listen, we've got Max Egan with us here on Raconteurs News this Tuesday night, and I can't let this opportunity slip away. First of all, I've got a bit of a two-part question. We've got about 20 minutes left, and I think you'll probably be able to do at least 20 minutes on this. First of all, can you give us some sort of indication or idea of what the situation is in Palestine at the moment? And also, I wanted to ask you, have you come across the Sovereign State of Good Hope? Because we had, we did a couple of really, really interesting interviews, and there are things afoot. And I thought it had parallels with the Palestinian situation, where you've got indigenous folks in South Africa that have got everything they need to be able to they've seceded anyway, aren't they? Yeah. We actually had the king on, King Kobar.
Oh, yeah.
Struggled with this at the time. King Kobar, anyway.
Cornelius.
Sovereign State of Good Hope.
Yeah.
But the Sovereign State of Good Hope, we had the king on. We had a lady on who told us some of the history behind what she said was the real history of South Africa. And then we had the king on a couple of weeks later, and it was really interesting. I just wondered if you'd come across that.
Look, I've heard mention of it, but I couldn't give you any information. I haven't really looked into it. I haven't had time, but I have heard mention of it. That's about all I can give you on the state of Good Hope. Interesting concept. The whole thing's pretty interesting.
If I can,
as far as Palestine, I mean, Palestine is horrendous. The situation in Palestine. If things don't change in Palestine, it will likely be uninhabitable by 2020. It's absolutely horrendous. I mean, it just gets worse all the time. It doesn't get better. It just gets worse. I'm hearing less and less from people out of Palestine, actually, because the situation is just becoming more and more hopeless, I think. And they're kind of realizing it. I mean, every time they think there's a little bit of light on the horizon, you know, there's going to be some sort of a thing with Egypt. You know, Israel's going to transfer, you know, control of Gaza over to Egypt or whatever, and Hamas is going to make deals with whatever. I mean, it always falls through. And, you know, any aid that gets sent through just gets snaffled up by Hamas, and the people never get it. So, you know, the whole thing is a humanitarian catastrophe unfolding further by the day and just getting worse every day. And it's the same in West Bank. I mean, things have really escalated there since Trump decided he was going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. I believe they've even set a date for that now, which is basically the final nail in the coffin of what was once beautiful Palestine, who the Israelis will tell you never existed. There never was a Palestine until the name came about, and Yasser Arafat invented it, and they make up all sorts of rubbish. But, it's terrible.
When we start talking about that, it's strange that when we start talking about the sovereign state of good hope and Palestine, Facebook's frozen, so nobody can hear us on Facebook Live. I'm sure you can still hear us on Spreaker, on the Spreaker, on the radio, the wireless, but... It seems to have frozen. Can you see that, Andy?
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to come in there and say, just for the record, it was King Coibaha Calvin Cornelius III of the Sovereign State of Good Hope. I just know that because I've just clicked on the podcast, so I can make sure.
I'd recommend you have a listen to that podcast if you get time, you know, while you're probably writing your... what you need to be writing for your talks and things. But I have that in the background because it was a really, really decent, genuine blow. Listen to both of the, what was the lady called?
Karen Smith. Interviewed for,
sorry?
Karen Smith.
Karen Smith, that's it, right. Yeah, so we got Karen Smith on first, and then we got King What's-His-Face, the third. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you know when you Max, I don't know if you've ever interviewed a king, and you've got absolutely no idea what the etiquette is, but he was a really, really nice bloke, really down to earth.
Yeah, it'd be strange interviewing a king. I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I don't know how I feel about kings, but that's all good.
You seem to be a king that was loved by his people and was placed in the position by his people as well. So, I mean, he was a really nice down-to-earth, but I forgot to ask him about his queen, which was a bit of a faux pas on my part.
good. No, but I'll definitely look into it if I see the link there. When I get time, I'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, good, great. Yeah, well, listen, we've got about 15 minutes left. I don't know whether you're a bit knackered and you want to get off or anything like that, or if you've got just anything final that you want to say before we wrap up the show.
Look, I just hope people do pay attention to this whole 5G thing and this whole smart grid and realize that, you know, we've got an opportunity here to you know, turn things around. We can't allow this to just go the direction it's going, this whole Internet of Things and what it's really going to lead to, the social crediting system. I think it's really important that people look at it and you know, stand up and hold these politicians accountable for their actions. We've got to do it, folks. Now is the time. We are right on the cusp now. We're at the fork in the road right now. And the next 12 to 18 months are going to be the turning point. They're going to be what determines the direction that we're going to go in. So I think it's urgent that people pay attention to this and get informed on what's going on. Get informed about the smart grid. Get informed about the social crediting system, and spread information as much as they can. Get involved with the Empower movement. Get involved with lodging affidavits and liability notices, making claims against politicians. Start using the legal system against themselves while we have an opportunity to do it, because once it all turns over to AI, which is going to happen in the next 18 months to 2 years, they want to have it all over up and running by 2020. and they want to have it fully autonomic by 2025. So once we go past that point, then there won't be anybody there to hold liable. It will all be AI. It will all be algorithms. There'll be no appeal process. It'll simply be algorithms dictating what we can and cannot do and what we can and cannot think and say. So, you know, we need to nip it in the bud now, and people need to pay attention to what's going on. So I just really hope people do see the urgency of this and, you know, the benefits, you know, what this AI grid could be if the world was run by honest people. You know, we could be on the verge of creating something really amazing, and we could be moving into like a Jetsons-type society if we factor in the reality that the world is running is run by criminals. We've got to factor this in, and we need to deal with it now while the mechanism is there to deal with it, or at least the mechanism is there to show that there is no law and show that, you know, we need to basically take the matter in hand ourselves, and we need to get angry about this. So that's hopefully what people will do. For anybody who is listening to this, I was speaking in Ireland this weekend at the Open Minds Conference at Dooley's Hotel in Waterford. Do come on to that if you're anywhere in the area, or even if you're into England. I mean, it's only a quick hop across the channel to Ireland. Come and enjoy the blizzard and the snowstorm or whatever's going on there this weekend, which seems to be happening anywhere in the British Isles, I think. So it might as well be in Ireland with people who think the same as you. So come on to that. And, yeah, I'll come on and have a chat to you again soon. I'm speaking at AV9 in May in the UK as well, and I'll get a banner up for that on the website when I can. And, yeah, I probably should go. I've got to try to record a radio show this week, and I've also got to prepare my talk for Ireland, which I haven't even prepared one slideshow yet. So I've got to go and present in a couple of days, so I better get that together and figure out what I'm going to talk about.
It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, as always. No bills of exchange this time. Yay! Won't be all like that one in the chat room. It's absolutely been brilliant to speak to you. I've just got one question, and it's a very quick question for you from the chat room. You'll be able to answer this in one word. Ask him, boycott or Bradman?
Boycott what?
Boycott or Bradman?
Boycott or Bradman? Question. Well, what do you think?
Oh, brilliant. Thanks very much, Max, for joining us tonight. It's been absolutely superb. So, Andy, anything at the little bit of the end?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that that I know that a lot of us who are listening to this and taking part in this show, Max has helped us all along the way by listening to some of what he's talked about. I know he certainly has me, and talking to other people, I get the distinct impression. And Max kind of does this and nothing else. So, he's not really got an income. So if you appreciate what he does and you've got a spare few quid, nip over to his website. You've got a donate button there, haven't you, Max?
Yeah, I've got a donate button there. Yeah, that'd be greatly appreciated. It is very needed.
Yeah.
Crowhouse.com. Well, that's Max Egan, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on this Tuesday evening with some great information. It's what did you think, Andy? We enjoyed that. We enjoyed that tremendously, didn't we?
Always enjoyed chatting with Max.
But as soon as we started talking about Palestine or the sovereign state of Good Hope, it went the Facebook Live ended, and it just cut off. So I don't know what that's about. For God's sake, we were only talking censorship earlier on, weren't we?
You couldn't make it up, could you?
Oh, so what you got lined up for this week then, Andy? Rest of this week?
Me, I'm going to be spending some time with my grandson and then resting to recover from it, and then it'll be next week.
Okay. And are you going to go and build a snowman?
I would imagine that might be job tomorrow, yeah.
All right, well, I think we're going to... that's it. I think it's about as much we got time for, isn't it, Andy? A big thank you to Andy, who's... I think he missed the joke that I said earlier on when he said that, when I said that he was wearing two hats.
Yes, I did.
Presenter and also producer for tonight. So big thank you to you. I'm going to be back hopefully Monday next week, Monday and Tuesday. I'm feeling a little bit better. I think it's because I'm away from that smart meter. I really must remove myself from the vicinity of where that smart meter is on the other side, because it's really making me feel crap. So I just hope that everybody survives Snowmageddon Part 2, which is coming your way tonight, according to... Oh, hang on a minute. Let's have a look. Oh, yes, it's... Oh! We've got a veritable blizzard here in Sheffield. So big thanks to Andy. Thank you very much to Max Egan for coming on, agreeing to come on the show, and the great information that we've had. I'll see you next week. I don't know what's going off yet. Might have a few things that I might need to deal with. But I promise you, soon I am going to solve the species problem. Take it easy. See you next week.